In 2016, I wrote a short post that went viral around the world, literally. It clearly touched something deep in many people. One tiny little snippet from that post reads, "What if I embrace my limitations and stop railing against them? Make peace with who I am and what I need, and honor your right to do the same." Now, some people hate this, and I'll speak a little bit to that shortly. But that's what I want to discuss today, is embracing our limitations and what happens when we do that for ourselves. Welcome back. I'm Krista, founder of alifeinprogress.ca and rebrandingmiddleage.com. I offer my work as a writer, grief and trauma-informed mind-body coach, and joyful living educator. My work is for freedom seekers, truth tellers, and stubborn questioners, highly sensitive souls, slow movers, and non-hustlers. The anxious, grieving, weary, and healing, reforming people pleasers, perfectionists, performers, and peacekeepers, and otherwise brave, messy, curious humans ready to quiet the conditioning and noise to reclaim freedom, wholeness, and joy. I'm glad you're here. I always felt different, a little behind almost, or on the periphery of quote unquote normal life, kind of on the outside looking in a way. I know now from, years of being able to be online and have conversations with people in different corners of the world that I'm not alone. There are others who share a similar experience, and it's really helpful, I think, to know we're not alone, to have language for something and even to begin to understand a little bit more why that might be. I have had and still do often have a sense of not quite being able to keep up or witnessing that others seem to have a larger capacity. I was chatting with a good friend a few days ago, and it actually took me by surprise that she said to me, "Krista, not everybody has to work so hard at life or at joy," because we were also talking about joy. And, there was no harm in that at all. But she had said this to me once years earlier. And what the reason I was surprised is because I have done so much work and I no longer wrestle in some of the ways I used to. And I live in a place of pretty constant self-acceptance and self-compassion with some blips in there. I spend so much time in energy and time management. And in a way that I recognize, like, not everybody does, and there's nothing wrong with operating differently than, some other people, of course. But, from childhood, just knowing that I needed more quiet time and sleep, and knowing that, over the years that I have felt like I just have limited capacity, it's been challenging. But as I learn to fully embrace the truth of who and how I am, a beautiful thing began to happen. I didn't only focus on time and energy management in order to do less. And doing less is a lovely thing. But what happened is that I created a little bubble of safety for myself, an environment where shame no longer ruled, an environment of safety and compassion and curiosity. And in that space, I began to bloom. Part of this conversation of embracing your limitations and no longer railing against them is really a conversation about what determines your value or worth. When we embrace our limitations or our whole self, what we're really doing is putting down deep roots of self-awareness, self-compassion, and imperfect action because we practice, we walk it out. And peace, joy, and a sense of meaning and purpose all grow here in the messiness of life, in the imperfection, in the strength and the struggle. The joy and the pain. So again, we create safety for ourselves to heal, become more fully ourselves, and thrive. And I think that's really cool. Before I continue the conversation, I just want to touch on, a couple ideas that come up that you may have encountered around, like that speak to kind of why some people hated that post and hate the idea of embracing our limitations. I'm sure there are others, but or maybe even just one main idea that I want to touch on. And one of them is that it's like we're, I think people would argue that what's the saying? Argue for your limitations, and that's what you'll get, or something like that. And again, it's really, in a way, I understand what some people are talking about. But first, I believe that you get to be exactly who and how you are and love yourself right there. Without needing to change or become different. And I'm not talking about harming people. I'm talking about your value and your worth are not tied up in self-improvement. Also, as I already said, what really happens is that when we stop railing against the reality of life or fighting against how we are, who we are, and we begin to make peace with the full truth of who and how we are, beautiful things begin to grow. But there's also this idea of living a small life, and like that's a pejorative thing. So if you embrace your limitations, maybe you're accepting a small life, like you're not believing in yourself or whatever. And again, this is, it's really semantics at the core, I think, because I think that probably what a lot of us are really talking about is the same. It's like, how do we thrive? And how do we operate in our strength and our gifting? And that is what I care about. I just don't believe that there's one path. And usually the path that's being promoted is the one of, do more and do it faster, and focus on getting better and being better, and all of that kind of thing. And that for me, and for some of us, all that does is keep us mired in shame and feeling never ever good enough. It doesn't work for us. Maybe it works for some people. I would also argue, though, that what is wrong with the small life? Like small is beautiful. Because really, we're just still then operating from the core belief that bigger is better. And the way that you prove your worth in this world is by having more accolades, more money, more stuff, more square footage, And of course, like that is meaningless to me. But also, what about building a right-sized life, a soul-honoring and sustainable life, whatever size that is, that interests me. Whether it's small or other, I don't really care. Is it values aligned? Is it soul-honoring? Those are the things that I care about. So last week, I chatted about relationships and community and some of the noise that can keep us from building or seeking or even expecting healthy relationships. And for me, a healthy relationship is also a brave one, and it's also a growth-minded one. I mentioned that if we don't trust ourselves or have our own back, it's really difficult to build this type of healthy relationship. It's not an all or nothing thing, right? We're all always in progress. As I mentioned, we've never been here before at this exact moment in time. So, we don't know how to do what we don't know how to do yet. We might do things really imperfectly or messily and even hurt people that we love along the way. But that's not really the point of this conversation. So, one way to trust ourselves and have our own backs is, I believe, by honoring or embracing our limitations. If we are not embracing the fullness of who we are, I think what naturally is going on is we are, if not outright rejecting it, then unconsciously rejecting or self-abandoning or judging or shaming or living under comparison or a mantle of perfectionism, never good enough. So I think it's really, really important that we consciously, on purpose, turn towards and befriend ourselves. Now, this conversation could also be about no longer railing against the reality of our life or circumstances. I may have touched on that a little bit in terms of grief and losing my son. But really, here, what I'm talking about is our relationship with self. So, when we embrace our limitations, and I'm not going to stop there, by the way, that's not the full conversation, but I'm starting here. When we embrace our limitations as one part of building or befriending ourselves, from that place, we are more able to recognize where we have leaky boundaries or a non-existent boundary and be able to name, communicate, and maintain a healthy boundary. We can do more honest energy and time management to create a more sustainable life for ourselves, a more soul-honoring life. And also, we're more intentional about who gets the limited resources that we have to share. We fill up and pour out from a healthy place. I don't think we're doing a service to the world when we are trying to give and fix and meet all the needs and everything from this sort of harried, urgent, depleted place. It doesn't mean that in serving that sometimes we're not depleted or weary or whatever. But if that's the constant, then I think there's more risk of doing harm and or simply of not doing the good in the same impactful way that we might if we allowed ourselves to fill up and give from that resourced place. So overgiving, for instance, that may be partly about compassion, but it probably is also about not believing that we're valuable without overgiving. Now, something in life will always be sacrificed, right? Like every yes will require another no. Every time block I dedicate to one thing means that something else doesn't get time on my calendar. So, what are you willing to sacrifice? Your health, your joy, your most important relationships, I remember, and I may even have shared this because I can never keep track of my own stories, but like years and years ago, I did a lot of volunteering, and I did a lot of volunteering while in chronic pain, while really tired, while, I don't know, just real the fullness of real life. And I didn't know it at the time, but it was a pattern of overgiving and trying to be a good girl and all the things. And but what stopped me was the realization that my own children, who were quite little at the time, were getting the dregs. I had nothing left for them, so I would be impatient, or I would make a yummy dessert to take to one more function and have no energy to make them something lovely, like just like things like that. And I was just like, yuck, this is not what I want. I had committed to myself to not do this kind of thing. Anyway, so something will be sacrificed. We want to, and we have permission to choose what that thing will be. Okay, and one more thing I think here is that when we embrace our limitations, part of what happens is that we begin to live with more purpose, more intention, more focus, more impact, and more joy. Some of the noise around this, I didn't bother, like, I don't want to focus on the noise. So it's like, here are like five things that you may recognize or some variation thereof. And the question for you is, how is this working for you? So you might have the thought, if I rest, slow down, take a break, or honor my limitations, I may not get up again. Or I may not accomplish anything in life. Number two could be something along the lines of, other people can do more. Like, what's wrong with me? Number three, I'm lazy. Number four, but the need is great. Number five, they won't like me if I say no. But again, something is always being sacrificed. And when we kind of cave to this conditioning or noise, we're sacrificing ourselves. So, but we don't stop there. When we're talking about embracing our limitations, what I mean, or so when I'm talking about this, that's only one piece of the puzzle. And the flip side of that is that we also honor, embrace, own our strength and gifts and, gifting gifts. We are both strength and struggle. They come tangled up together. You're not only your limitations. And this too is part of the work of befriending ourselves, of quieting the noise, and learning to love the fullness of who and how we are. Our wounds and gifting are often tangled up together. They're often the flip side of each other. I won't go deep into this conversation. It is one that I'm having now and continue to have in the Brave and Beautiful community. But if you think about this, so we often offer to others that which we have needed ourselves. And if we do it in a way, like if we do our healing work, right? So when we are embracing ourselves, when we're learning how to do that, we are doing our healing work because we're learning how to forgive ourselves, love ourselves, approve of ourselves, walk in self-compassion, etc. So we often offer that which we have needed ourselves. None of it is wasted. We use this co the compost of our lives. And from that grows something lovely that we can share to others. Now, I don't mean we have to share it from a lofty place of, being teacher or whatever. I think it just sort of emanates. It spills over from the inside. So, for instance, some of my own struggles and or limitations around my sensitivity and my wiring, living in chronic pain for much of my life, grief, trauma, like those things, like I can offer my work with more compassion and understanding. I walk my talk. I can create safety for others, in a way that you might need, because we've had similar experiences and you might not find it somewhere else, right? So all of my heartache and struggles, I don't celebrate that part of my life, but I celebrate my bravery. I celebrate me coming to peace with the truth of the fullness of who I am in my life and deciding what I'm going to do with this. By the way, in the Brave and Beautiful Community Summer Session, we're talking more about legacy, meaning, and purpose. And there is a common experience in the midlife season of feeling like you're re-envisioning your life. So maybe you're in retirement and it's like, okay, now what? After my teaching career, that gave me a lot of purpose, what's next, or it could just be that you've been parenting and focused on nesting and all of that, and you haven't really had the energy or time to focus on yourself. And you're in this new space of like, who am I? What do I like? What brings me joy? What are my strengths? Let me just think for a second. What else did I want to say about that? So our strengths and our struggles are wrapped up together. When we honor or embrace our limitations, that's often the beginning of learning to also recognize and be able to own our strengths and our gifting. And it could be like also your beauty, your value. But it's very, very difficult to believe in your value and your beauty and your gifts and your strengths while you're fighting against yourself. Really, and you're beating yourself up and judging yourself and shaming yourself. Or if not shaming yourself, not recognizing how much that old the old stories that are on repeat in your brain are shaming you and harming you. So what I really want is to thrive. What I really want is for you to thrive, whatever. Whatever that looks like for you, I want us to live with joy. If you want joy, then I want it for you. And one of the big reasons that we armor up against joy is fear of losing it, fear of, but what about when the next bad thing happens? And when we learn to make peace with what is, including embracing our limitations, and as I mentioned in the very beginning, what's happening there is we're putting down these deep roots, self-awareness, self-compassion, imperfect action, and those roots hold us fast. So when that next bad thing happens, or the next challenge comes around the bend, your joy isn't up for grabs. It isn't threatened. It isn't easily shaken. So there's this beautiful byproduct. It's all just tangled up together, you guys. Like, it's very exciting. The more that we make peace with what is, the more that we embrace who and how we are right now, the more that all these other things that we long for begin to grow and put down deep roots. And even within those limitations, whatever the heck they are, whether they're like forever limitations or temporary, They do not hold us back from a brave and beautiful life. And really, that's the crux of things, isn't it? There are many paths to a brave and beautiful life, and you are not exempt. I'm going to begin to wrap up, but here's where I want to go to close. My worth is intact right now. It was intact after my son died, and I could work maybe 5 hours a week, and I was, barely hanging on. When I'm ill, when I'm injured, and while I'm aging, my worth is intact. My belief is that your value is, it doesn't disappear. Your contribution or your ability to experience a sense of meaning in life isn't dependent upon your body, self, or life circumstances looking one particular way. I'm not telling you what to believe, but I'm offering this up for consideration. Because when your worth is tied to your productivity, your ability to keep up or perform, jump through hoops, publish, create, bake cupcakes, whatever the thing is in front of you. Then what happens when you can no longer perform? Like, what happens if you burn out? What happens if you're injured? What happens if you lose your legs? What happens when your child dies? What happens when your body grows old? Then what? I think it's worth examining. I believe that we can operate in our gifting in every single season, and we can have a sense of purpose in every single season. All right, I'm going to wrap up there. I would love to hear what you are thinking, what's coming up for you, what's challenging you. I would also love to invite you to the Brave and Beautiful community. It's a truly beautiful, kind, growth-minded space. Do a couple primary different things there. One is there's educational content. So there's ongoing conversation, skill building, mentoring happening. But on the other side, there's also this risking and practicing vulnerability to show up and be seen. To hear other women similar to you or very different from you, but walking through similar human experiences and learning how to pick themselves up, how to practice self-compassion, how to set boundaries for the first time, how to forgive themselves for their own basic human messiness, whatever is happening. There's this common humanity. And that in and of itself is worth any, all the pennies. Just that, being in community, being brave together, practicing letting ourselves be seen and heard. But I also love the other stuff. You can set up a free call with me if you're not sure if it's a great fit. I can add that link. I may or may not add the link in the show notes, but I'll definitely, if you head over to the B&B sales page or my contact me page, reach out and I'll share a link and you can set up a free 25-minute Zoom chat. Email me if you have questions about it. We open up 4 times a year if there's space available. I keep it on the small side of life. It's not a typical membership community. because I am a highly sensitive human, strongly introverted, and I want the space to feel safe for others like me. You're not just a number. I know your name. If you choose to share a bit of your background and story, I know that. I hold that, for you. I'll check in with you. And I really think that these spaces, I know my space is unique because I've been told over and over again. And I really think that this type of space is really important for us, for wholeness, for freedom, and for joy. So imperfect action, really just my main invitation, come check out the community or just sit with this idea of, can I embrace my limitations and stop railing against them? What would that look like for me in this season? What's one tiny little step I could take towards that today? And until next time, make peace with messiness to make space for joy.